Let's go ahead and get started. Let me go ahead and say a prayer to get started.
Let's pray.
Dear God, Heavenly,
thank you for another beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for bringing us together and so that we can worship collectively and honor you today. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we can open up a portion of your word and study your word that contains so much wisdom.
It's just mind-boggling, and it's just awesome. Dear Lord, thank you for Jesus and what he means to each of us, and help us to fully understand that what we study today points directly to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so today we're going to move on to another topic. Next week, I will not be here, and graciously and thankfully, Doug will teach the class next week. He'll be teaching on the holy days, the sabbatical year, the jubilee year, cities of refuge. I would have done that today if I was here, but next week. But this one I want to teach because I've never taught it before, and excited to do so. It's Melchizedek. So, you know, being added to the church 42 years ago, this was a topic that I've glossed over, I've read, I've heard some sermons, but to be honest, I haven't really took a deep dive in there. So I did take the deep dive, and so I learned some things, and I'm excited to share that with you today. All right, so Melchizedek. It ties into the old law because we've already studied the Levitical priesthood and the high priest. And so this ties in very nicely. As you know, Jesus is our high priest, and he wasn't a Levi. Okay? So this explains all of this. Okay, so again, I'm excited to the class, never taught it before, and I'm looking forward to this. So Melchizedek, just kind of in summary, he's mentioned two times in the Old Testament. And so it's Genesis 14 and Psalms 110. And we'll read those here in a bit. But the main point here is, and we just keep this in the forefront of your mind, is that Melchizedek points directly to Jesus. Okay? It's a foreshadow to Jesus. All right, so the man named Melchizedek, first of all, it's a bit of an enigma. In other words, it's mysterious. It's puzzling. It's difficult to understand. It's a riddle. In the scripture. So we don't fully understand who Melchizedek is in the scripture, but using our Bibles today, let's see if we can solve this mystery here in Sanford. Okay? So kind of a challenge, right? Let's see what we can do while we learn. Okay, so let me set up the... before we read the scripture in Genesis 14, let me go ahead and set this up as to what's happening, what the setting is. So the setting of the appearance of Melchizedek, there were four kings in the north that invaded Canaan to defeat the five kings of the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zoabim, and Zoar. So during this battle, the four kings of the north took captive of all the people of Sodom. And Sodom is where Abraham's nephew Lot lived. So they took over Abraham's nephew Lot. So Abraham hears this, and he needs to take action. So these events, hears of these events and quickly takes the action to attack the retreating kings to free his nephew. So Abraham did defeat, with the help of God, defeated the four kings of the north. So let's go ahead and let's read that in Genesis 14. Verses 14 through 20. And the Bible says, when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and declared them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all of the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. Verse 17, then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He gave him a tenth of all. Okay, there's a lot of things going on here. So, as you see in verse 18, Melchizedek just shows up. Okay? So, let's go to our slide. So our slide's on? Yes. Okay, so Melchizedek. All right, so let's break down what Melchizedek actually means. The man named Melchizedek is, Melchizedek comes from two Hebrew words, Malik, which means the top one there means king, and Melchizedek, which means righteous. So literally, what it really means, Melchizedek, means my king is righteous. In other words, king of righteousness. Okay? So likely, Melchizedek is more of a title than this man's name. Okay, and we'll get into what I mean there. All right, so now let's break down, go back to Genesis 14 and break this down a little bit further. Starting in verse 18, when Melchizedek appears. So, verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. Okay, so let's talk about what he was. It says, the king of Salem, and also the priest of God Most High. So Salem is really present-day Jerusalem. And this is the first time the word priest appears in the Bible. And notice what he did here is he broke bread and he broke wine. Wine being essentially fruit of the vine. Okay? So who in the New Testament do we know that has broke bread as well as the fruit of the vine? Think about that. Okay, this is a foreshadowing of Jesus. Okay, let's move on. We've got some more here. Verse 19, he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Verse 20, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He gave a tenth of all. So Abram gave Melchizedek 10% of all the spoils from this battle. All right, so a question that we need to ask is, how did this priest, Melchizedek, how did he become the priest? Okay, so let's go to Psalms 110. Verse 4, it says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So there's Melchizedek, but it talks about order of Melchizedek, something a little bit different. Okay, so basically, my question now, is everyone clear? Everyone understands who Melchizedek is, what he did, who he was? Because if we only had the Old Testament, we would be done. Class would be over. Okay? Right? So if that were to occur, if we were to stop here with just the Old Testament, this morning's lesson is finished, we'd walk away confused, and I think you'd have a question or two. I know I would. Okay, so what we have to do is turn to a commentary and figure this out. So typically a commentary is some man's writing about the interpretation of the Bible, but I really like this, in that we're going to use the commentary of the Bible to talk about the Bible. And so we're going to go to Hebrews, and Hebrews will interpret this for us. So if we were in the Old Testament and the Old Law, and that's all we had were the Old Testament, it's a mystery. One of the reasons, because it happened for such a long period. And then in Hebrews, it gives us a lot more insight. So, just to let you know, Melchizedek is mentioned in Hebrews in chapters 5, 6, and 7. But we're going to look at chapter 7, starting with verse 1, and go through that. And it's going to parallel what we just read in Genesis. So, again, let's just go through it. All right, let me find Hebrews. There you go. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Okay, so again, the title, Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is really Jerusalem, and then present-day Jerusalem, and priest of the Most High God. So, priest of the Most High God, let's talk about that. That's a man that was appointed a priest by God himself. So, God went to this man, Melchizedek, and appointed him as the priest. So, think about that conversation. Okay. Then also in we also said that Melchizedek means the king of righteousness, based on the definition of the name. So he was the king of Salem, which is the king of Jerusalem, modern day Jerusalem. So Salem, let's talk about, what does Salem mean? Salem means peace. So if you think of that, then what that means is he's the king of Salem. Salem means peace. He's the king of peace. So who in the New Testament was a king of righteousness, king of peace, like as well as being a priest? And not only a priest, but a high priest. That's Jesus. Okay, so all of this here, again, is foreshadowed to Jesus. So just keep that in the forefront of our mind. So let's read verse 2. Hebrews 7, 2. To whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. So everything I just said is verified right here in God's word. So he's the king of righteousness, king of Salem, which really means the king of peace. Okay? All right. So then let's move on to verse 3. And this might be one of the confusing parts. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of Man, he remains a priest perpetually. All right, let's think about that in terms of this man that talked face to face to Abe. Okay, so it says, without father, without mother, without genealogy. So if he's a man, does that mean he just showed up and didn't have a mother or father? Not really. So this is a kind of a foreshadow, and it's kind of symbolic. In other words, the Bible doesn't record any of the history of Melchizedek. It doesn't talk about him anymore, about who he was, his genealogy, his parents, his descendants, nothing. He just appears out of nowhere, just shows up. And so that's kind of what it's referencing here, is that he just kind of shows up And we don't know anything else about him. And so could God have told us all about him? Yes, he could have. But the way he wrote it like this. Now, let's think about it in terms of Jesus. Because, again, this is all foreshadowed to Jesus. Think of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Okay? So, if you're God and you're there in the beginning, in the you wouldn't have a father. You wouldn't have a mother. You wouldn't have genealogy, nor would you have a beginning, nor would you have an end. So, to me, reading this, this is the foreshadow of Jesus, and talking about specifically Jesus, but it's symbolically talking about this Melchizedek man that just kind of showed up. All right, so we haven't opened it up to questions. Okay, so are we together, or are we confused, or feel free to comment.
This is a deep subject, I understand, confusing.
And there's some things, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. We'll get there. And it's okay to disagree on a few things, okay, and we'll talk about that. And we'll extend this into a second week, okay? Because I think there's that much stuff. All right, so based on what we've said so far, is there any confusions, questions, any corrections anyone wants to say?
Roger. The only thing I can think of is that there is a reference of Melchizedek in Psalms.
So yeah, Psalms 110.
And we read it. Yeah.
Oh, we did. Okay. Yeah. No, I understood.
It's quoted twice in Hebrew.
What's that?
It's quoted twice in Hebrew.
Yes, verse chapter 5, chapter 6, and then we're in chapter 7, yes.
I'm going to say that Psalm quoted twice.
Yes, yeah.
6 and 10, 7 is quoted.
Good point. He quotes what was already written in Psalms.
Yes. But those are referencing the Old Testament, which really doesn't give us any clues until we get Hebrews chapter 7, the commentary, God's commentary of his own word.
It's really neat when that happens. Okay, so now let's go over, let's get a little deeper into it now. If we're, all right, so we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. Let me read this. Verse 4. Now observe how great this man was to Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils, and those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brethren, although these are descended from Abraham.
But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises.
Okay, so Abraham, he's a patriarch, he's the
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, he's at the top of the list, the God of Abraham. He's a patriarch.
He's well known. I mean, he had all the promises. And just take a look. A question I had was, why does Abraham pay a tithe to this man? Kind of interesting. He didn't know who he was. He'd
never met him before, according to the scripture.
Like a total stranger, but he recognized him.
And he's paying
a tithe, 10% of the best spoils that he collected from this battle. So basically, I'll try to answer the question why. He really wasn't honoring Melchizedek, the man himself. When men tithe, they do not they do so to honor God. He recognized that this man was a priest of God. So if Abraham handed his tithe to Melchizedek, it means that Abraham believed this man was an intercessor or mediator or priest before God. And that's the title that he has, is priest. And we learned from the old law that the priests were essentially mediators of the people, between the people and between God. And the New Testament describes Jesus as our mediator and our high priest. Okay, so hopefully this is all fitting together. The other thing in verse 7, It's in verse 7, but without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. All right, so Abraham was this great man, patriarch, well known, all the promises, but yet he's considered the lesser. And Abraham, why did Abraham view him to be superior before the Lord? This verse here says that Abraham was the lesser, and that Melchizedek was actually the greater. So therefore, you know, he gave the tithe, and he received a blessing. Okay, so that's a little bit more into it. Now questions. Questions with so far? Anyone?
I think it's interesting to parallel what Jesus says to the Pharisees when he says, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I think there's a good tie point. To all that here.
That's a good point. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. If Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek represents Jesus, should we give a tenth to Jesus of our earnings?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So it's also a foreshadow of what was going to happen in the old law. I think the old law, they gave a tenth. Okay, today there's not that requirement to give a tenth. That's open to a person's own heart and how they feel. Did I answer that one correctly?
It's like,
I mean, well, and they didn't give a tenth. That's a misnomer.
Okay.
They gave more like 30%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think you're extrapolating too much if you try to make a, this is not about offering. It's about why Melchizedek is greater than Abraham, right?
Okay.
And it's not a doctrinal description of what we should be doing as Christians as far as giving goes. That's nowhere in this discussion.
And the reason why I asked that, because I've heard some preachers say, a preacher saying this. Yes. And it saddens me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A gospel preacher.
Okay. Yes.
It says that the inferior was blessed by the superior. I'm a little bit confused about which one was blessed, because was that talking about Melchizedek being blessed or Abraham being blessed?
No, so if you go back to 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. So this is Melchizedek blessing Abraham. If we also go back to the original text, back in Genesis, I think it might be stated a little clearer.
So, but wasn't Abraham blessed too, because it's more blessed to give than to receive?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But
yeah.
So, I mean, it's just kind of confusing to me which one. But
you have to distinguish between the blessing and the offering.
They're two different events. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So Abraham gave a tenth, and Melchizedek gave the blessing.
Okay.
Yeah, in Genesis 15, verse 19, he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High." So this is Melchizedek saying these words. So it's Melchizedek the greater blessing Abraham. Is that clear?
Yeah, so I know I've heard blessed all the time. What does that really mean?
Has to do with words. Like you're saying something, a blessing. Like if at dinner time you say blessing over your food, you're saying thanksgiving to God, right? It's a Yeah, when Abraham blessed Isaac, you know, he is providing to him words of blessing. So the blessing is that.
So it's mm-hmm. words?
Well,
according to my look at the Greek and stuff with it, it says to bless, to invoke a benediction upon, to speak well of. That's when he gave him a blessing.
Plus,
he's blessed. He spoke well of Abraham and what he was, who he was, what he did to do.
Yeah, and plus he was a priest from appointed by God. So he was greater, you know,
blessing.
Basically giving him an encouragement, pat on the back, to say you're confirming who he, this guy's going to be.
Okay, no, good discussion. Thank you. Let's move on, and then we'll have more discussion. Okay, so Melchizedek served as a priest. This is before the law of Moses.
There were
no tabernacle, no sacrificial system, and the Aaronic priesthood had not yet been established. In fact, Levi and Aaron had not yet been born. Okay, let's look at verse 9 and 10, and this is very interesting. So Hebrews 7, verses 9 and 10. And it says, "And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." All right, so like I said, Levi, Aaron, they hadn't been born yet. And so when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, in essence, all of the Levitical or Aaronic priests also tithed Melchizedek. And the reason is because Levi was still in the loins of Abraham. So if you think about it, from the wilderness, Aaron, the first high priest, to 70 AD, the last high priest, when the temple was destroyed, there were approximately 80 high priests. So all 80 high priests, essentially still in the loins, along with all the priests, basically in a symbolic way, through Abraham, tithe Melchizedek. Okay? So that's a deep thought, is what I'm saying. So again, Melchizedek is greater than Abraham, and his priesthood is greater than the Aaronic priesthood. Okay?
Repeat that one more time, brother.
Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. It tells us that. And the order of Melchizedek, that priesthood, is greater than the Aaronic priesthood. Okay? So if we, let's go back to Psalms 110, verse 4. And let's just listen to the words about Melchizedek. 110:4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Then back in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, it repeats, as Doug said earlier, it repeats from the what was read there in Psalms. So Hebrews 5:10. Being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And then Hebrews 6:20, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so now we're not talking about just Melchizedek, a name, perhaps a man, a person. We're talking about the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so what does that mean? So an order means a sequential order or priestly leadership over God's people. Sequential. So the word order in Hebrew actually means succession and in an ancestral line. So the example that we have is the Aaronic priesthood. It's an example of an order. And so it's a succession plan where the high priest served for life, and then he would die, and then the new high priest would take over. We already studied this. And so usually it was the firstborn son. If the firstborn son was still alive, then they would become the new high priest once his father had passed away. And they would inherit the office, and it would go from a succession plan through the generations. Okay? So now, once again, we'll go back to our mystery. Who is the priest that Abraham met? Who was this man?
I'll just open it up.
I have the answer.
A man chosen by God to be a priest, and therefore he has a high position and opportunity for reaching out, blessing people.
Could have been Jesus before he was born.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? All right, so we simply don't know. we solved the mystery.
I mean, so we can take it literally, and we can say, yes, it's a man.
Just like the scripture says. Okay, that's fine. But this is an area where men who write commentaries have speculation. Okay? And so we can study all those things and so forth. And I think, you know, we can have some subtle disagreements as to who is this man.
However, we need to get the concept right.
The concept of what it means, the foreshadow to Jesus, that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, you know, the tithing, the blessing. We need to get that right. We need to come to agreement on that. But as
actually who this man is, okay. It's okay to differ.
So let me just say... men speculate, but let me ask you this. Does it matter?
No.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so...
We don't have to know.
When it comes down to it,
we don't have to
know the exact man that this is.
Because the Bible doesn't tell us.
He came out of nowhere. That symbolic phrase about, you know, no genealogy, no mother, no father, came out of nowhere. So we don't have to know. God makes the point to us without having to reveal who this man actually is. So no matter who this is, their identity doesn't affect our salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the main, the big thing. Or the understanding of God's point that the order of Melchizedek is greater than the Aaronic priesthood. Can we agree to that part of it? You agree? So we can get the concept, we can understand, but we don't necessarily need to know who the actual man is. Dwayne.
I was just going to say that a lot of times, particularly if you look at commentaries, if you're not careful, you start to overthink things.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Bible is the Bible. What it says is absolutely true 100% of the time. And... all we know of Melchizedek is what it says in these verses. Now, what do we need to take out of it? Well, he must have been something special because Abraham gave tithes to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we know who Abraham is.
Yeah.
And so that's the bottom line as far as, you know, a lot of the other commentary talk you hear about him, there's no evidence for any of that.
Yep. It's
what it says here is all we know about it, but, you know, as far as we can tell, unless somebody all of a sudden discovers the book of Melchizedek somewhere.
Yeah. The book of Melchizedek, and then that wouldn't be ordained by God. It's not part of the Bible, which come Wednesday night, and Brian's given an excellent series on the origins of the Bible and revelation and transcription, and it's great. So come Wednesday night. Yeah, so again, it's all men's speculation is what I'm saying. Agree with you 100%. So we also have to understand that the order of Melchizedek will produce the Messiah. because Jesus came through the order of Melchizedek. Okay? So, what I can say is, add this to your list of items to ask Jesus when in heaven, and or ask those we read about in the Bible when you're in paradise or Abraham's bosom, such as, who wrote the book of Hebrews? We don't know, but it doesn't matter because we have the book of Hebrews and we need to abide by it. What was the great fish that swallowed Jonah? All right? What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Okay, and what was the forbidden fruit of the Garden of Eden? So you can add this one. Who was the man that we read about here in Genesis, Melchizedek? So what I'm saying is, this isn't the only thing that's unknown. And I kind of like this, to be honest, because we can have healthy discussions. We can study these things. We can, it makes us think. But as Dwayne said, whatever we think about, we can't turn that into biblical truth, because that's where it gets dangerous. But we can discuss, and I think we could disagree on, who's the writer of Hebrews. We could disagree on that, as long as we follow the book of Hebrews. That's the main thing. So I think it's kind of neat that God has these loose ends that we don't know the details. Because we don't have to know the details. We just need to know the main point that God's getting at. All right, so as we said, many Bible scholars speculate Melchizedek. So here's a few things I'll tell you. What the speculation from men, okay? I just want to make sure you're aware of that. That they speculate, some people may think that Jesus taking on human form for specific and temporary purpose. I mean, that could happen, Jesus at the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were there, kind of in a, some type of human form. It could be like Doug said, take it literally. It's a local king, faithful to God, sent by God to bless Abraham. Which kind of tells us that if that's the case, then God had people in other places that were worshiping him truthfully, that's not recorded in the Bible. If you think of it that way. Some think that, again, theories, men's theories, could be Shem, it could be Enoch, it could be an angel. Okay? Theories, okay? Doesn't matter who it is, it's, we get the point. And God makes the point, and we get it. Yes? Oh, sorry.
From your study, does it matter? Hebrew seems to say the Melchizedek order is continual. Aaronic priesthood is not. It's based on lineage, and somebody assumes Aaron's position based on physical genealogy. But the Melchizedek is continual, and Jesus is the only one that goes on forever. In your study, does that thought in Hebrews that order is continual? Maybe.
Yes.
Have some an impact on
good question. So the order of Melchizedek, as I said, the order means in Hebrew means succession, which means from one to the other. So the Bible does, it keeps talking about the order of Melchizedek. It doesn't really, I don't find, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't find where it actually gives us the actual order to arrive at Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. However, I looked at these theories, and I don't like teaching men's theories in a valuable time in a Bible class, but when I come back in 2 weeks, I would like to walk through this theory about Shem, knowing that it's a theory, it's men's theory, but it does lay out nicely this order, okay? And it talks about the succession. Whether it's true or not, no one can say, but we can pull out some biblical truths in there and learn from it. Go ahead.
I hate for us to get really wrapped around the axle around the word order here, because I don't think it's capital O order, like a priestly order, because I'm looking at my Hebrew and Strong's, and it's used more in a word like a suit, a style.
Okay.
a manner, a reason. In other words, it's not an order like a priestly order that we think of. I don't think it's like that. I think it's saying in the same way that Melchizedek appeared out of nowhere and existed prior to and even superior to the Aaronic order, that we later learn about that is established by God, that prior to and preceding that, Melchizedek was there, and that's the whole point, is that Jesus was there before all of that.
Yeah.
But I don't like the idea of getting too wrapped, focused on that word order and making it like some sort of established order. I don't think it was that. I think it was that idea, something of that style.
Any other comments on the order? These are tough concepts. This is not milk. This is meat. Okay? So we're there. Go ahead, Harry.
I view Hebrews basically saying Christ is better, greater, and I like the word superior.
Okay. Superior.
And Melchizedek, he wanted to do what was right. Who said what was right and wrong? God.
Okay, good point.
And then he also emphasized peace.
Yep.
I agree that all this points to Jesus, but he wanted to do what was right.
King of righteousness.
And he also emphasized peace.
King of Salem, which is Jerusalem, which means peace. King of peace. Yeah, perfect.
And it helps me. Of course, some would disagree. I believe Moses could have written Genesis through Deuteronomy. And I accept the evidence that he did. Mm-hmm. How much time was there between Genesis and Exodus?
Yeah.
They had a lot of ideas already, but now the law of Moses puts it in written form.
Okay.
But that helps me.
Okay. Thank you, Harry.
But I think still the bottom line is, any way you look at it, Jesus is superior. Because he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
And that even included Aaron, the high priest.
Yeah, good point.
Anything that you thought was best or great, Jesus is superior.
Yes.
He's number one. He has the preeminence.
Okay.
And then
one last thing. Picture what you think Melchizedek would look like in your own mind. I mean, we don't have any visual. Nobody knows. But you probably have some concept of what he looked like. So I used to watch this show called, if you were hunting for him, looking for him, you'd want to get a picture. Like Dog the Bounty Hunter, they always have to start with a picture. So in today's time, I just had AI give me a picture. Not to say it's right. Nobody knows. But this is what they came up with. Now, out of respect and not to be funny, I had something in my mind, and it didn't look quite like that. I thought maybe they didn't recognize him because he was covered up a little bit. And so mine was a variation of that, and of course God wouldn't allow this because it wasn't proper for the priest uniform, but that's kind of what I thought, which is funny, but I'm not trying to be funny. So I'm thinking that he had sunglasses, that they didn't see him, he had some type of hat, and he was wearing a trench coat in the desert. Okay, so I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm just saying that's what my mind came up with, a little bit weird, but that's what I came up with. But nobody knows, okay? And I thought maybe it's because they didn't recognize him. And maybe they did recognize him later. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. It's all speculation. So I hope you understand a little bit more about Melchizedek, that it's enigma, mystery, not a lot of information. And that's okay about Melchizedek and the order of Melchizedek, but the order of Melchizedek leads to Christ, and that we got the concepts of peace and righteousness, and that Melchizedek is greater than
Abram and the Aaronic
priesthood. I hope we got all those concepts. We need to agree on those. That's the heart and soul of this lesson. We need to agree upon that. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. That's a tough topic. It's the meat of things.